Captain Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It's my absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to host tonight's Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent call, September 12th, 2017. As we're nearing the last quarter of 2017, I'll be bringing a host of exceptional speakers, entrepreneurs, spiritual trainers to this call before the end of the year. Tonight, I have the distinction of being able to introduce a good friend, longtime collaborator, Mr. Todd Falcone. Todd and I go back almost 18-plus years, and Todd and I will tell a little history of how we met and the many events we did together in the early, mid-2000s. But before I bring Todd out, I'm going to cover a few quick announcements and let you know where I'll be few weeks. So this Saturday, I will be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Portsmouth is very close to Massachusetts. Abby O'Neill will be hosting the event. It will be an absolutely rocking event. So if you're in that area, the Boston, New England, northeast portion of the United States, I will be there from 9 until 3:30. So that will be a fabulous event. Next Saturday, I will be in Kansas City, Missouri with Kalen Hobbs. Kansas City is one of my hometowns, one of my three hometowns, where I spent 7 years of my life. I went to college right outside of Kansas City, so it'll be a great opportunity. If you live in the Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas, or you live in that area, the event will be at the Westin Crown Center at Hallmark Quarters. That's going to be a fabulous event. October 1st, I will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm sorry, October 8th, I will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. October 21st, I will be in Albany, New York. October 28th, I will be in Norwalk, Connecticut. November 11th, I will be in Orange County, California. November 18th is an open date. I'm in the process right now of determining the city where I will be speaking. December 2nd, I will be in Atlanta, Georgia. December 16th, I'll be in Rye, New York. That originally was planned for Long Island. I have moved the venue and the location to beautiful Rye, New York, right next to White Plains. And December 30th, I'll be finishing the year in Marina Del Rey, California. If you have not taken advantage of my 15-minute free coaching sessions or services, I offer free 15 minutes of coaching to first-time callers, and people have not experienced a test drive of my one-on-one coaching. If you've never taken advantage of that, feel free to contact me at 209-932-0227, or you can Facebook message me and send me your phone number in my inbox and what you would like me to assist you with. It is now my distinct and absolute privilege and pleasure to bring to you Mr. Todd Falcone. Todd, are you with me on tonight's call?
Right here, brother.
Right here, brother. I knew you'd say something like that, my brother. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the proper introduction that you deserve. I'm going to tell a little bit about my personal history and knowing Todd going back to 1999. Todd Falcone has over 25-plus years of experience in the profession of network marketing and direct selling. With that, Todd carries a strong passion for the industry and what it has to offer. Over the past decade, Todd has dedicated a majority of his time to speaking and training on the subject of network marketing success. His distinctive style of candid, in-your-face presenting, layered with comedy and practical instruction, has his audience both laughing and learning at the same time. Todd founded in 2006 Reach for Success, LLC, which supports, educates, and trains individuals within the industry. Todd offers several training programs focused on success, including insider secrets to recruiting professionals, how to win the game of prospecting, the little black book of scripts, which I personally own, cracking the code to success in network marketing, and the sought-after live coaching program, the A-Team, just to name a few. Over the past 12 years, Todd has hosted Todd Falcone's Monday Night Training, a weekly call dedicated to individuals wanting to learn more about the industry or how to grow their existing enterprise. With the philosophy of giving back, Todd speaks on various industry-related topics and shares the success tactics that have allowed him to attain his financial goals, retire as a network marketing distributor, and build a successful and ever-growing seminar company. Todd is very sought after. He consults with network marketing company owners, trains top-level distributors, coaches individuals, home-based business owners, and speaks at corporate training events all over the world. His passion shows in his mission to help build leaders, allowing them the freedom this industry truly has to offer. The motto of giving 100% is not only how Todd lives, but also how he trains, presents, and engages others. He is one who talks the talk, and unequivocally, Todd walks the walk. Todd, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. It's great to be here with you. How are you doing?
I am outstanding. Todd, it has been a few years since you've been on this call, but you've also been on this call many, many times throughout the 18-year history of this call. You've been on this call probably 10 times, so I've been on your call numerous times, but it's been several years, so it's great to have you on tonight's call. Well,
great,
Todd,
to
I'm going to share a little history on how you and I met. Now, I knew who you were back in the mid-90s because you were a top income earner in a training company, a lead generation training company called ProStep. I also was a member of that business. Now, back in that era, that was a very unique company because you could do that business very part-time, also full-time. And it was for me, it was a sideline business venture because I would refer my team to purchasing leads from that training site. And you were one of the top five income earners in that company early in your career. That's where I first heard of you, through the ProStep magazine. You and I's picture was on the back of the cover. You were one of the top 10 income earners, and I was one of the top 20 in a part-time business while I had a full-time business. It was a very unique era of network marketing and direct sales. I met you for the first time in Dallas, Texas, and I believe 1999, and that was our first meeting, and then it wasn't long after that I had the opportunity to have you speak at one of my events in San Francisco, California, in January of 2000. You shared the stage with me in a packed room with 166 people. So that's a little bit of our history. Do you remember, is that how it went, Todd?
That's exactly how it went, and I remember seeing you the second time I met you in person was at the Atlantis Hotel and Casino, and you were crushing it, and we met briefly in Dallas, but I just remember you walking up. You're like, Todd Falcone. I'm like, yeah, you remember who I am? You're like, oh, absolutely. And I remember talking as you were walking through the casino in Atlantis. That was a long time ago.
No, that was so long ago that you had an afro back then, if I remember.
I definitely had some curls. I'm holding on to what I got left at the moment.
Well, so you were as handsome then as you are now. But let's talk a little bit about the industry that you and I really grew up in. You and I started almost the exact same time. We have a very similar history. We started in a similar pay plan, different companies, but our paths kept almost crossing. I started in Herbalife, and I'll let you tell the company you started in. It was the same pay plan. But if I'm correct, I will tell the story. I believe you answered a newspaper ad when you were a senior at Long Beach State University. You went into an interview just like I did. I answered one of those newspaper ads. I went into an interview with a room full of people with my resume. Go ahead and finish the story, Todd.
Yeah, I got introduced a little bit differently than that. I had a guy that looked me up on the list of graduates graduating out of the marketing department at Long Beach State, and cold called me, and he called me up and said, my name is Jim. I'm calling you from Orange County Marketing. We're looking for people that can train and manage others in the expansion of our company. We want to talk to you. And I thought, oh, my gosh, they're hunting me out already. I had no idea this is the way the job world worked. And I didn't even have a clue that I was getting ready to look at a business opportunity and sat through that first business opportunity presentation with NSA, National Safety Associates. They were selling water filters at the time. And the concept made sense to me, and I bit in, and I decided to do it. That was 26 years ago.
Now, that was a $5,000 buy-in. Here's how my script was read, Ted. Todd, hi, Jeff. This is so-and-so. What I'm going to do is ask you a few questions, let you do the same. We'll see if it's worth our time to meet. Good, good, great. What do you do for a career? Remember that script?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I started in Herbalife. You started in water filters. I actually was in that company for a short period of time. That company was very famous for pioneering the puppy dog clothes. You remember that?
I did it many times.
Todd, then your career took a change because you were really introduced to a really top-tier marketing company in network marketing. You had the privilege of being mentored by one of the greatest mentors, a very interesting person, but he was a very great trainer. Can you tell a little bit about that early history?
Yeah, well, when I got started in network marketing, I was under this organization in NSA that was run by a gentleman who was running a training and seminar company, which was unlike anything anybody else was doing in that company. And the level of training, the level of leadership training, mindset coaching, recruiting and prospecting was unlike anything anywhere at the time. And in fact, a lot of the people that came out of that era through that group of that leadership group are still very successful people to this day. In fact, it was that early training that really helped me to succeed. Now, you know, looking at my career, the first 2 years I did network marketing, more or less I fell flat on my face. I spent 2 years with an amazing education, but very little to show for it. And I had to move home and live in the bunk beds at my parents' house to regroup financially and start over, knowing full well that I was going to be involved in network marketing. It was just a regrouping period. I took a job at the family radio station, and I took those entrepreneurial skills and the training that I got, applied it into that business, and ended up being the number two earning account executive in that market after about 12 or 15 months. And these are people I was competing with that had been at the stations for 10, 12, 15 years, and it had everything to do with the kind of training, that entrepreneur training that I got early on from him.
And that was in the mid-early 90s. I remember this. Now, what's very interesting is, once again, even though you and I were not in the same company, that same man whose training you received, I received that training indirectly from a woman who was my upline in Herbalife, and she had been in that same company with him in NSA for 2 years in the San Francisco Bay Area. So she was teaching his philosophies to her team, which I then learned. So I learned the 1-2 call close back in the day. I also learned how to write very effective advertising scripts. I advertised in newspapers all across the United States, and it wasn't uncommon for me in any Sunday back in the day to have over 100 leads calling me after a Sunday advertisement. You remember that era, Todd, where you'd sit and smile and dial?
Oh, well, it's funny because I actually still smile and dial. But, we were running ads in Orange County Register, L.A. Times, all over the place. We got very, very skilled with writing effective ad copy. That was another added bonus or benefit to having that early on training.
But also, we got very skilled at scheduling appointments. Now, I used to go into my office in Pleasanton, California. I would have anywhere from 100 to sometimes 200 leads from over a weekend. Now, this was newspaper advertising, and these ads were costing me $250 to $500 for a Sunday, depending upon the circulation size of the newspaper and the variables. And granted, I was running in the sales section, so I'm going to get a lot of calls. But it wasn't uncommon for me to sit in my office at 9 o'clock in the morning, have a 1 o'clock briefing, a 7 o'clock briefing, and have 15 people show up because of the skill level I learned in that system. Now, I know that you encountered some of those same skills, and this was really the early era of both you and I's career. We paralleled each other. I may have started in the industry a year or two before you. I'm a little older than you. But it was right about the same time. And that, so for me, it was 1990 to 1998 that I was in that process. So I didn't have a whole lot to show for it. My first 6 years in the industry, I had one six-figure year in 6 years. I had $100,000 worth of credit card debt. I was in the NFL club in three categories, no friends left, no funds left, and not for long. What was the real turning point in your career, Todd? That was my turning point when I hit that financial rock bottom. I had that breakthrough year in 1996. What was your breakthrough that allowed you to move on into five-figure monthly income?
I think there was two major breakthroughs. One for me was pretty early on in my career. I've always been really serious about my business, and if I'm going to do it, I'm going to go do it. And I think that I was kind of grinding, and I wasn't really showing that I was having any fun. And here we are, you know, doing our own thing and self-employed. And I was trying to force a square peg through a circular hole. And that forcefulness and that lack of enjoyment in the process, I think, pushed a lot of people away. And I actually went to a seminar at the Bonaventure Hotel in 1991, which was where I had that big shift. And then a couple years later, I was making good money. I was probably making, I don't know, $6,000 or $8,000 a month. And I had this guy that was white-haired, and he came to me and he was like, hey, I need to borrow some money. And I thought, because I was so young at the time, I thought, if you're older, you got to be making more. And I was very intimidated by people of, you know, that were any, you know, a couple years older than I was because I started so young. And when he offered me his sailboat as collateral to loan him $5,000, it was like an aha moment for me. And it was a big shift in terms of how I dealt with people when I was on the phone with them or in meetings, and came to the realization that it doesn't matter how old you are, how much life experience that you have, you know, you may not have had the opportunity to get yourself in front of a great vehicle, and you may not have had great coaching to lead you to success. And so those two things for me were pretty big aha moments.
Now, also in our era of network marketing, it's interesting how challenging some people now have in selling the dream in today's world with a $300, $500 business model. In our era, it was typically $3,000 to $5,000. And I'm actually glad I grew up in that era, because I wasn't intimidated about asking someone for that kind of commitment, because I felt it had value. Now, I also look back at that era of time, and I don't believe that our industry was any more difficult than it is today, because, we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have Internet, we didn't have all those tools. But it was still, the industry was still as pure and still as good then as it is today. Would you agree?
I think it's even better today. I think there's the technologies and the tools that are available to us. Look at social media. It allows you to reach out to so many more people than we could back then, when I was using fax on demand or whatever we were using back in the day to get information, handing out a cassette tape or a VHS tape to get somebody to look at information. So the tools
dead
and the technology
don't lie,
Todd. Easy.
Remember that?
Oh,
dead doctors don't lie.
22 million copies of that thing mailed. Absolutely. 22 million.
Your breakthrough company, I remember that. I watched you move into multiple five figures. Yet, right at the peak of your career, what happened to that company?
They went out of business. The owner of the company was making a lot of bad decisions, and the check was coming in, and then the check wasn't coming in anymore. And what's fascinating about that was right at the same time that you said, hey, will you come up to San Francisco and speak? And that was, I never really planned on being a speaker or a trainer, but you were the guy that put me on stage the very first time. It was never part of my plan. And I remember the conversation. You said, hey, you want to come up and speak at my event in San Francisco? I'm like, what do you want me to talk about? You're like, dude, you rock at recruiting. Just come and talk about how you do your business. So I said, okay. And that was really the impetus to what I've been doing now for the last, 12, 13 years full time.
No, and you are exceptional at it. So I consistently state that, without a doubt, Todd Falcone is one of the top prospecting, lead generation, top sales coaches, speakers in the world. So Todd, let's discuss a little bit about why people don't prospect. You and I are very skilled at the art of prospecting, asking the questions in a sequence, closing the transaction, asking qualifying questions. Most of society in the network marketing and direct sales industry has challenges with this aspect of the business. They go to the seminars, the rallies, the workshops, the conventions. They fall in love with their company, their products, services, benefits, and features, but they spend a good deal of their career avoiding the very skill that will allow them to be prosperous prospecting. Why do so many people have challenges prospecting either online, on video, or on a telephone?
Because they're too utterly concerned about what somebody else is going to think of them. The biggest issue people have is fear. I mean, my entire brand is the Fearless Networker, and it's because I've dealt with fear myself, and I've dealt with fear with people who I've worked with for years, and it's their biggest hang-up is I'm so concerned about how someone's going to judge me, especially when it comes to warm market recruiting. These people know them, and they're afraid to pick up the phone and say, hey, look, I found something really cool. I'd love to show you what I'm up to. Instead, they sit there and twiddle their thumbs, and they try to do anything but the one thing that makes them money, which is engaging people in conversation. And I think the moment somebody gets to this point where they just don't really care what somebody thinks of them, that they're living their own life and they're going to do it anyhow, that's going to be one of the biggest breakthroughs that they'll have.
Right, and they are not only are they avoiding succeeding, and they also then they use failure. They're avoiding failing, but the most important situation is they miss out on is they avoid learning the skills. Now you know that how important repetition and experience is, especially when it comes to connecting, asking, and prospecting. Can you share some of the techniques that you have taught some of the top network marketing distributors, associates, 6- and 7-figure income earners, some of your insider skills that you teach people when it comes to the art of prospecting?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of the things I think we need to do a lot of reflecting and looking in the mirror. We're self-employed entrepreneurs, and we have to spend a lot of time going, would I hire me? Am I really showing up the way I need to be showing up? So I do a couple things. Number one, I have people do a self-checking exercise. It's very simple, and it's a way for them to open themselves up and come to the realization as to whether they're doing the business or not. You've probably seen me do this. I did this on your stage over 10 years ago. You draw a box on a piece of paper right now. Draw a box on a piece of paper and put the number of new people that you talk to about your product or your business in the last 24 hours. What's the number? If it's a zero, it's not enough, obviously. You're not even in the business. One, that's nice. You're moving in the right direction. I made 78 phone calls today. Today, me. I made 78 outgoing phone calls today connecting with people. So if I were to draw that box right now, the number would be 78. And that's 26 years later. This is an exercise that you can do to reflect and get some immediate feedback to determine whether you're in the business or not. And then there's a qualitative self-checking mechanism, which I think is really important for people to do. I learned this actually in speech class, which is funny. I'm a speaker. I almost failed speech class, and I had to talk about a number two pencil on camera for 60 seconds. And I thought I licked it. I thought I tore it up. I'm all cocky getting off the front of the classroom. And the next day, we all had to watch these 60-second talks. And I sat there and went, like. And I was floored. I thought I crushed it. And I here to come to find out every other word is and, you know, and like. And it was an awareness for me that I wouldn't have otherwise had. So what I teach network marketers to do is record some of your calls, record a cross-section of your meetings, look at them, review it. You can pick up on a lot of mistakes that you're making simply by listening to some of your own calls. Now, of course, when you have an expert that's been in the game for a long time, who's done it time and time again, they can look and listen to those calls and give a different kind of feedback than maybe you'd be able to do so yourself. But those are two really simple exercises that people can do to, A, determine whether they're really involved in the business or not, and B, how they're sounding when they're actually doing it.
You are a master at this. So when you're making these phone calls today, you're going to encounter some people who aren't interested, correct?
Oh, of course. And I'm calling people to book speaking gigs, to talk. I mean, all the phone calls that I'm making are to top leaders and company owners.
Exactly. So you're calling top-tier people. And so you understand that the 30-second message is very important, that you're able to deliver your content in 30 seconds or less. How important is it to be able to be clear with your message?
It's critical. I mean, if you're talking to someone and they say, what do? You don't need to spew it out, but you should be able to disseminate what you do in a way that causes them to say, hey, wait a minute, what do? I want to know more about that. I think one other thing to point out when it comes to prospecting and recruiting, and somebody asked me this the other day, when you corner somebody and you say, hey, what's one thing that you would say has been a major contributing factor to your success? You know, it's hard to pick out one thing because it's typically many things. But if I look back at my career, it's relationship building. And calling people, not just when I want to go do business with them, but just to check in and say, what's up? How you doing? What's going on? In fact, I called a guy today, and here's the payoff on it. It wasn't like I was doing this to try to make this happen, but this is what happened. I called this guy for no other reason than to just check in. Hey, brother, how you doing? What's going on? How's life? What are you doing? If I could send you business, who's your ideal customer? This is a guy that runs a consulting company. Well, 30 minutes later, he posted up on Facebook that, hey, Todd Falcone, it was so cool, Todd Falcone called me today just to say what's up. Well, do you know how many people have seen that post, commented, liked, forwarded that? The amount of extra I got out of that just by being a relationship builder, a guy that – and here's the thing. You can't make a withdrawal from an empty account. So if you look at, like, you go to your bank and you've never put any money in it, how can you go there and take a withdrawal? They're going to laugh at you and say, take a walk. The same thing goes with relationships. You can't expect to pull something out of a relationship that you haven't contributed anything into. So if you want more people to do business with you, if you want more people to buy from you, to feel good about you, you maintaining connection with them and making emotional deposits into their account is incredibly valuable, so that the time when you do come a calling or you do decide to say, look, you know what, John, I'm calling you up. I found a new business. I'm really excited about what I'm doing. I'd love to have you take a look at what I'm doing. At the very least, give me your feedback or whatever the approach is. It could be a dozen different approaches. They're going to be way more receptive than the only time. And I've got these guys that call me, and I know you love to use this word as well. He calls me up and he goes, hey, pal, And I'm like, dude, are you serious? As soon as I hear that word, I already know what he's going to do. He's going to pitch me the next deal. The only time he ever calls me is when he wants to pitch me some deal. Other in between, never heard from him. So as soon as I see on caller ID that he's calling, I'm like, okay, he's pitching me a new deal. And how often have I ever joined or been receptive? Never.
Never. Never. Because he doesn't get it.
No.
Right.
Doesn't get it.
That is great that you – Now, here's one of the key components that people also miss in the sequence of prospecting is closing. You and I are both closers. We understand that closing is finishing. But closing is an upfront process. You close upfront, and you close throughout a conversation. Go ahead and share with some of your key skills and what you teach top-tier income earners and also beginners on how to master the art of closing.
Well, I'd say first thing is listening and paying attention. In today's super busy Twitter, Facebook, mobile phone stuff all around you all the time going on, you need to be focused. Like right now, I'm in my office. My door is closed. My door is locked, in fact. I can't afford to have any distraction while I'm on this call with you. I can't afford to have any distraction when I'm meeting with a prospect because they could say one thing to me, and if I tuned out or didn't listen or didn't pay attention or didn't catch it, I may have lost the opportunity to connect. Maybe they said something to me really important to them, but because I was tuning out, looking at my phone in the midst of our conversation, I'll never do business with that person. My mom taught me something a long time ago, and she said to me, in fact, this was when that leveling period when I moved home and had to, you know, regroup financially, cut up my credit cards, live in the bunk beds in my mom's house. She's taking me to Dick Bruin Men's Store in Carmel, California.
Oh, I've been there, dude. Dick Bruin Men's Store. It's also one in Gilroy. I had to see one of my accounts.
Yep, Gilroy, and they got one in downtown Carmel, and she's taking me to Carmel store, and she looks at me, and she said, listen, she goes, don't ever be late to an appointment with a potential client, not because of the business that you'll surely lose that day, but for the respect that they'll lose for you long term, and you can't even possibly calculate the potential lost business that you would have gotten had you treated that appointment more seriously. So I've always been this guy, like even tonight's call, I dialed in 5 minutes before the call started. To me, being on time is being 5 minutes early. This whole idea of being, you know, fashionably late, it's not fashionable. It shows that you don't care. So I think one thing for sure when it comes to getting more business is how well are you listening? I take notes on every conversation that I have. I have notes on if I have your contact information in my phone, you have notes from every conversation, or I have notes from every conversation that we've ever had all the way back to whenever we first met. So I'm always taking note mentally, or I'm taking notes so I can always, you know, my brain's not perfect. That way, if I've got it down, I remember, oh, the last time we talked, your daughter broke her leg. I'm going to ask about it. I may not have remembered it because it was 6 months earlier, but because I open up the contact record and I can see, oh, your daughter broke her leg. I'm like, hey, how's your daughter doing? Last time we chatted, she had broken. Oh, my gosh, you remember that? Yeah, you know, I do. Well, I remember it because it's right in front of me. And then the other part is people, I hear this so often, and it just makes me nuts. I'm not good at follow-up. I'm like, you mean you're flaky? No, I'm not good at follow-up. Well, follow-up is not as much skill-based as it is decision-based. Like if I said something like, you and I chatted today, I got you some information, you liked what you saw. A lot of times after you first look at some information, I might ask you a question. Hey, how do you feel about what you saw, or what did you like the most about what you saw? Or my favorite question is, Jeffrey, on a scale of 1 to 10, if you were going to rate yourself 1, not interested, this is not at all for me, and 10, oh my goodness, this is something I absolutely want to do, where do you rate yourself? It gives you an opportunity to get a really good gauge of where their interest level is. Let's say they're a 7, they need to get some more information. Well, great. Well, what additional information do you need to get so you can make an informed decision and feel comfortable, you know, going into business and actually doing this? Well, I need to learn more about the company history and the compensation plan. I'm like, great, I'm going to send you an email right now. Is email the best way for me to contact you, or would you like prefer text? I'm going to find out which way they prefer to get information, not what I prefer, but what they prefer. I'm going to get them the information. I'm going to say, Jeffrey, listen, let me ask you this. When in the next 24 hours can you take a look at this information so I can get back to you and we can have a conversation about what you looked at, address any questions that you have? And you know what? Quite frankly, if you find out that this is not for you, that's totally cool as well. I'm not into pressuring anybody to do this business. You're going to do this because you want to, not because I forced you to do it. You're going to either see it like I do and like a lot of others have, or you're not. And either answer is fine for me because I only want to work with people that are willing.
So what it means, Todd, is you have a great sense of urgency and you understand how to ask for the outcome that you're seeking.
Absolutely.
Now, here's where many people miss the mark. they misconstrue selling. They never really master the art of selling because they're uncomfortability. They don't understand the urgency in selling. They don't understand the art of the takeaway. They don't diplomatically know when to let someone go. They can't differentiate the difference between follow up and follow through. Now, for those of you who are listening tonight, here's something that Todd and I have in common. Todd and I have very distinct prospecting communication styles. Todd is very skilled at asking questions in sequence, as I am. He's very skilled in his language style. You have great diction. You have great tone. You use words that are persuasive. Todd, I can tell that, like Susan, you studied NLP. You've read thousands of books. I mean, you and I all have some of the same books. You understand the inner game of internet marketing, direct selling, network marketing, selling, branding, because you're a student. And this is, once again, most of society wants instant gratification. Here, my palm's out, Todd. Can you give me my first check so I can rank advance? Doesn't that drive you crazy?
It does.
I mean, the real term paying the price, there's merit to it. A PhD, that's what you require to be successful. A public high school diploma, maybe. College education, I mean, it doesn't matter in business. What matters is that you're committed. Would you agree?
I agree 100%.
How important is it to be committed to learning the skills?
I wouldn't be here if I didn't commit to personal and professional development. In fact, it's funny, looking back, at the business opportunity meeting that I first went to, when I first got introduced to network marketing, had never heard of multi-level network marketing, direct selling. They used a book in the presentation, Think and Grow Rich, as part of their presentation. And the guy that, after the presentation was done, he said, listen, you need to, A, you need to read this book, and B, you need to attend the seminar. And I said, dude, listen, I'm getting out of college. All I've been doing is reading books. Can I just make some money? And he goes, no, you can't. And, you know, Jim Rohn, who we both had the opportunity of speaking with many times, you know, he says that quote, formal education will make you a living, self-education will make you a fortune. And it's so true. I mean, what does college teach you to do? It teaches you to be, you know, maybe socially functioning and American history or whatever else. But I didn't learn a whole lot in college that I apply into business. I suppose there's a couple little tiny things from marketing classes. But it's the you know, if you're going to succeed in this business, you have to make it a point to study. And I still study to this day. I'm rereading actually the Success Principles by Jack Canfield right now, which is a great book. I'm reading The Last Prospecting Guide You'll Ever Need by Bob Berg. I've got half a dozen books on my desk downstairs, Influence, the Psychology of Persuasion, which I've read multiple times. I'm always reading books. And here's the other thing, and I say this at seminars that I do, because people go to events all the time and they have all these big intentions and they leave the event like, oh, I'm going to, you know, the hair standing on
it.
I'll
up.
See,
I'm going to tear I'm it
gonna
up.
Be, yeah, I'm going to be, we'll walk the stage as diamonds, and they're going to go crush it. And then they get home and they do nothing. And so, you know, what I teach people to do when I close events, and I've been asked to do a lot of closing of events to do a really strong call to action. It's like, look, you learned something today. You took notes. Before you get in your car and you go home, take 2 points from today that you learned that you can use as actionable items and put them and implement them into your business starting now before you ever get home. You know, the whole phrase, soak and apply. Soak in the information, but apply it. Knowledge, you know, the phrase knowledge is power. No, it's not. It's nice. It's powerful when you put it into use. And so I'll tell you something. When I moved from Seattle, as you know, to Scottsdale, Arizona. I had this huge library in my house with all my books out in front of my face. I moved to this other house. I had no bookshelves. And it took me about a year and a half to, like, remodel this house and build this huge library. And then I unleashed my books. And what was crazy was just having the books in front of me changed my mental state, changed my entire attitude. I was, you know, for lack of a better term, I was kind of in a funk because I wasn't in my typical personal development routine. And it wasn't until I brought the books out and I could just go grab 7 Habits of Highly Effective People and go read from it for 5 minutes, or go read Maximum Influence, or go read whatever the book was that was calling my name that day, that I was able to get into that mental state. My business started to skyrocket again.
Don't forget who stole the American dream, our boy Burke Hedges.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, I remember when we used to play a VHS, remember that, after a briefing of VHS?
I do.
Of Burke Hedges with Tommy Lasorda, Who Stole the American Dream. Do you remember that video?
I do. I haven't seen that one for a while.
The guy goes, I have two porches, a front, not a front porch, two porches. He meant Porsches. He was speaking Spanish. I mean, that was a classic. So, Todd, I'm like you. I have right here, I'm in my office, I have a Bird's Eye Mabel bookcase with about 1,000 books in this room. I can go down the hall. There's a couple thousand in that room. I haven't read all of them, but I can skim any one of them at any given time. And it just creates a whole environment of not only knowledge, but application. Just like you said, knowledge isn't power. Application into results is what creates the outcome. So I'm going to ask you a tip question. So I'm going to ask you, as we start to move into the second half of this call, three key tips that someone that's relatively new on the line. I know there's a young woman in Denver, Colorado. She's attended one of my events over the weekend. Her name is Paige. I watched Paige begin the transformation that you and I began. She was about the same age I was when I really started to break through. I was 31 when I started to break through. For the young entrepreneurs on tonight's call, or old entrepreneurs or whatever, but if you're going to give someone that's relatively new to free enterprise three key tips that they can turn into money, what would those three tips be?
Well, I don't want to sound incredibly simple, but I found that...
But we are, though. That's what's in free fresh.
Yeah. You know, it's not like nobody's heard this before, but make a decision. Make a commitment. We hear commitment all the time. But the interesting thing about that is what I find is a true commitment is followed by action, never-ending action, until you get done whatever it is that you're looking to get done. So there's a lot of people that are involved in network marketing that haven't made a commitment. I actually tested this. I was at a seminar. It was a big wide-open seminar. There was about 1,500 people there. I collected about 320 business cards of this like giveaway that we were doing. And a year later, I'm looking at these business cards. I'm thinking, I'm going to call all these people. So I spent a week, and I called 320 people. 70% of the people I called were either out of network marketing or onto another deal. And, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, the company you're in is a rock. The one that you were in is a rock star company. It's like they hadn't made the decision. It's like plant your flag. And when you decide, this is one of the most powerful things. If you want to be in a position where your life can depend on it, on you know, you can have a lifestyle from network marketing and not have to worry about having other sources of income or a job. You have to act as if your life depended on it. And so my question to you is, if you really want to be in that position, are you acting as if your life depended on it? And a lot of people go, well, I don't know, not really. Well, let me take it a step further. Well, what if starting now, right this second, you no longer had any other option to earn money? Your job, your savings, nothing, all that stuff was gone. The only way that you could feed your family, put food on your table, put a roof over your head, make your car payment, your house payment, was you had to make your network marketing business work. That was the only option. Would you do something differently? People go, oh, yeah, if that was the case, of course I would. Then why aren't you already? So that's number one, is making a commitment and drawing a line in the sand. Number two is, look, there's always doers and don'ters in every company, okay? You could be in a really successful, booming company that's rocking, and there are many that are doing extremely well, and you know, in each of those companies, there are people that do and there are people that don't. There are people that find excuses and there are people that take action. Make sure that you surround yourself and follow the doers, not the don'ters. So it's a personal decision to go, hey, I'm going to follow these people that I know are doing. And it's funny because I learned a lesson before I met you. There was a lesson I learned. I was selling cable television door to door in Long Beach, California. And this guy said, listen, I'll help you. This guy, Fernando, I actually have a dog named Fernando. I named it after him, by the way. And I met him in college in my history class. I don't know why. He was a 42-year-old guy at my history class. And he always had a wad of cash. And I had candy wrappers. I had no money. And so he would call me kiddo. Kiddo, I'll buy the beers or whatever. We'd go out. He'd party with my friends and whatever. And one day he said, hey, I'll show you how to make $1,000 a week. And I was like, what? I'm like, what? Yeah, let's do it. Is it legal? You know? And he said, but here's the thing. I'll show you, but you have to do it my way. And I won't show you because the other guys that I compete with, they all do it a different way. And they work 12 hours a day, 5, 6, 7 days a week. And I'm always the number one guy. I said, okay, I'm in. So we drive to Garden Grove, California. And he writes out a script for me. Like this is like the first sales script. And he writes it out in Spanish. And he says, you have to do it in Spanish. You need to memorize this. So I memorized the script. I'm not going to go through the rest of it, but I still have it. I still have it memorized. And the crazy thing is, I would work Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 3 to 7. I would spend the rest of the time during the week surfing and playing. I was making $1,000 a week. I'd walk into the sales meeting on Monday morning, and all these guys would have their arms folded and frowns on their faces because I go look up on the whiteboard, and it's Todd and Fernando, or Fernando and Todd, or Todd. We swapped it back and forth every week, and these guys are just shaking their heads going, they're out there selling to Spanish-speaking neighborhoods and doing it 100% in Spanish, and we crushed them. Well, the lesson I learned there that I definitely applied majorly in the network marketing is somebody's willing to show you how they do what they do. Don't you dare reinvent the wheel. Don't try to put your own spin on it. And you can put your personality. Not that you can't be authentic and be yourself, but people get in this network marketing business like, I don't want to do it that way. I'm like, fine. Well, here's the deal. Why don't you make your first 10 grand a month my way? And if any of you want to go screw it up after that, you're welcome to. So follow people.
Doesn't this amaze you? Someone asks you a question. They ask you a question. You're actually answering the question, showing them or telling them how to do it, and they interrupt you and go, yeah, but.
Number three is focus on what makes you money, because I'm going to tell you straight up right now, the only thing that makes you money in this business is exposure. You want to make money, you got to talk to people. You want to get out of a doldrum, a slump, a slow spot, you better talk to people. So, yeah, oh, well, Todd, I want to hide behind my capture page. Okay, go hide behind your capture page, and let's talk in a year from now when you're still broke. You need to talk to people. Look, here's the thing. I've been in this business from before the internet ever existed, before email was around as you have, and things, you know, little tools and bells and whistles have changed over the years, but one thing that hasn't changed is this is a people business. There was a day when, probably 2000, 2001, 2002, like the internet started to hit and people started going, oh, you don't even have to talk to people. You can just hide behind a power line system page and just sit there and funnel people through stuff. And all these guys started to like poo-poo even stuff that I was saying. Oh, yeah, using the telephones, like old school, it's stupid. I'm like, dude, you don't even get it. And the funny thing is those guys, all those internet marketers that hit their heyday and all of them had me speaking at their events. They looked at me like the grounded, wise old man, even though I'm not old. I'm 50. To come and disseminate the message like, hey, you still need to talk to people. If somebody responds to your ad, you pick up the phone, you say, hey, is Bob in? Bob Todd Falcone getting back to you, just responded to my ad on the internet about making money from home. Am I catching an okay time to chat for a couple minutes? And you go into the call. You can't be sitting around waiting for somebody to join your business. Most of my business, and I mean like over 95%, has been a result of my willingness to pick up the phone and to follow up with people. Even to this day, and I still use these call logs. I log every single phone call. I mentioned today how many calls I made. The last week I've averaged 50 calls, 40 calls. I'm connecting. I took the last 2.5 months off. I moved from Scottsdale, Arizona to Bend, Oregon, settled my family in, went hiking, fishing, hanging out, getting to know this new town that we're in. But, man, the moment, the day that my kids went back to school, it was back here in this office, and the thing that I do the best and the thing that makes me the most money is connecting with people. And I've been doing nothing but connecting with people. And I still do, and I'm a speaker, trainer, coach. I don't do network marketing for a living for any specific company, but I am so embraced and engulfed in network marketing, and I still do the same things that I was doing as an independent distributor. I'm just doing it with a different, I'm talking, like I said, to company owners and top-level distributors in different companies, but I'm still prospecting my tail off.
Todd, this is great content. Here's another situation I want you to address. Being a leader, being a mentor. Many people get overwhelmed about leading. I'm not sure if I can lead. How important is it to be a leader? And then what is the difference between being a leader and mentoring a few people in a mastermind alliance? Two-part question.
Well, I mean, you're not going to know if you can swim unless you jump in the pool. So I think the moment that you join a network marketing business and you sign up a customer, you're putting yourself into a leadership role. You need to be able to guide that person through understanding the products and making sure that they have a great product or service experience. You sign up your first rep, you might be leading a troop, but that troop is a troop of one. They're looking to you to be the example. They're looking to you, even if you're brand new, to be the person that's going to at least guide them in the right direction and show them the ropes. When it comes to mentoring, if you want more people on your team to be doing more, you need to be more engaged with the people that you're bringing into the business. I can't believe how many people sign somebody up and they point their finger and say, go get it. if I signed you up in the business and you're eager and you're showing me, not through your lip service, because a lot of people will say, I want to make money, I want to change my life, I want to change my lifestyle, but good, they don't even take a step in the right direction. If somebody signs up in my business and they take two steps towards me, I'm going to take two steps towards them. If they sign up and they're like ready and I get them plugged in and they're ready to, through their actions, that they're ready to actually do something, I will lock arms with them, hold hands with them, make calls with them, go out to meetings with them, do presentations, do three-way calls. How long? As long as it takes. It's like raising children. So I will mentor that person and give that individual my expertise based on my personal experience in the business. Mentoring and coaching are two totally different things, as you know. But there's a lot of mentoring that we do in this business. And the more that you take time to mentor someone and work with them, the more likely they're going to stick. I mean, you spend all this time to go sign somebody up, and then you go, hey, go through the Getting Started training and report back to me and let me know how you're doing. Which I know they don't do it exactly like that, but it's kind of what they do. And they end up like having these people that come in and who could have been successful, but they're not. Like I've used this example on two other calls in the last week. So I moved to Bend. I don't know anything about sprinkler systems. I have people do this stuff for me. So I got this, I buy this new house, and you want to, check out your house. You want to know what's there. I mean, I've only seen the house one time. I don't know how the sprinklers, electrical, stuff, what's going on. I don't know you don't know stuff when you move into a new house. Well, I turn on my sprinkler system, and there's leaky sprinklers all over the place. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I got to call a sprinkler guy. So I talked to my neighbor. He said, oh, call this guy the grasshopper. So I call the grasshopper guy. He comes over, super cool guy. And I decide to walk around with him while he's checking it out. And I'm watching him dig out these sprinklers, which I've never changed a sprinkler. I don't know anything about it. I was afraid if I poked a hole in the ground, I'd break a pipe, so I didn't even touch it. He's like, oh, you don't have to worry about it. You just do this, and it's on a flexible hose, and you can move it around, wiggle it around. Takes it off, puts it back on, shifts it, changes it. And through that experience, and I'm not going to go do sprinklers now, but I'm very able to go out and change sprinkler heads and manage the stuff in my yard, even though he's doing it for me, because he mentored me. I chose to be the mentee by following him around. I could have hired this guy and said, go do it, and never looked at it. But I was curious. So I followed him around in my yard, and he changed probably 18 sprinkler heads. And I could very easily go do that now because he essentially held me by the hand, demonstrated, showed it to me. You get a brand new person in network marketing and they've never done it before. Well, it's like tell, show, try, do. Well, Jeffrey, let me tell you how this network marketing thing works. Let me explain to you the basic premise of how we do what we do here. Okay, let me show you. I'm going to make a couple phone calls. You can kind of hear me, watch me. So I'm going to demonstrate it in front of you. Okay, you've seen it a few times. You practiced your script. Now, here's a couple people. Let's have you call these people. I'm going to have you try it, give you some tips, give you some feedback, make some tweaks, make some changes, and then eventually you'll be able to go out and do it on your own. A lot of times people just throw people out into the garden with the wolves, expecting them to succeed, and they get eaten alive.
You're exactly correct. That's what happens, because they're not really engaged in the business. But that person is waiting for that one superstar to show up. The first person that really was, I was fortunate enough to enroll a young man early in my career who had some potential, but my game changed in 1995. I enrolled a woman out of a health club who had a 15-year-old son, and she was actually in the same company you were in once. And she was 4 months behind on her car payment, 4 months behind on her house payment. I saw her with a can of powder from the very company you were in. I was $100,000 in credit card debt, and I didn't go, wow, I'm so broke, I can't approach this woman. I went, and very attractive woman, I went up and asked her, I said, are you a network marketer? And she goes, I was. And I pretended to ask her a few questions. Ended up taking her to lunch. She got started that very day. She came up with $1,300 she didn't have. And in her second year with me, she made $250,000. That was the very first person that I'd ever really mentored. I didn't know what that meant until that time frame. She was the first person I'd ever really mentored. And she was the first person who made multiple six figures. And that was my breakthrough year, my whole attraction changed. Cover, as we start to wrap up, the importance of understanding not the laws of attraction, but the real science of it. Because attraction is a science. Attraction marketing, you and I have known Dillard for years going back to then. We've seen some of the great internet marketers and shared the stage with them. Mark Hoverson, to name some, you've met a lot of these guys. Kubasek back from the days. But share with the folks the importance of understanding how to attract the right people to your culture.
Well, what you put out, you bring back to you. So what you think about, you bring about. So if I'm looking at the law of attraction and wanting to draw people towards me, if I'm sitting here, woe is me, life sucks, this is terrible, I'm not worth it, I'm never going to succeed, what am I going to do to myself? All I'm going to do is attract a bunch of negativity. There's a thing that I learned in terms of how we can project ourselves. This is something you asked me early on about breakthroughs. Well, something I learned a long time ago, and I actually had my first $10,000 month working out of a garage, and that was in Pacific Grove, California. I know you and I were talking but way back in the day, and I remember that because at the time, like, I was so desperate and needy and beggy and pleady that I couldn't attract. I mean, it's like I got to think that some of my prospects were probably feeling, oh, this poor guy. I mean, pathetic. Like, you can just feel his level of desperation. Nobody's ever going to join this guy. And so I don't even know where – I honestly cannot point where the lesson came from. But it's this whole idea of perception is projection. So what you – project out into the marketplace becomes that person's reality of who you are. What you say, how you say it, essentially, like, it's like you're project. If you're having a conversation, it's like you're projecting this image onto the screen that they see, and they're watching it, and it's like that's the reality of who they perceive you to be. That's their reality of who you are. And I took that to heart, and I wish I could remember where the lesson came from, but I can't. And essentially what that – and I decided – and this, at the time, I was working a lot of leads. This is in the, like, 93, 94. And what happened was making these phone calls to people. Here I am in this garage with a – yeah, I mean, it was kind of a room, and it had a little bit of a closet in it, but I was working out of a crappy garage with single-pane moldy windows. And if I picked up the phone and I said, hey, Jeffrey, Todd Falcone, listen, I'm calling you out of this garage, and woe is me, and this is crap, and da-da-da-da-da, and I don't even know if I need your money, can you sign up? I'm never going to sign anybody up. What I decided to do was act as if. How would I act if I was making whatever? Like, in my mind, I think I put 20 grand a month. Well, if I was making 20 G's a month, I would act differently. I would carry myself higher. I would have a level of posture that I didn't have prior to that. And I just decided to act. And that wasn't like, hey, I'm cool, I'm making all this money, you should listen to me. It's just like it was a shift in how I communicated with people, and it caused people to want to join me. And that's when I really started to enroll a lot of people, and I got really good at recruiting because I shifted my posture and I shifted the way I projected whatever I was projecting upon someone so that they were a whole lot more likely to respond favorably to my message.
Todd, I remember that I would buy men's suits at the men warehouse. Remember this era?
Oh, yeah.
I buy suits at the men warehouse. I got my first $15,000 check in 1992, and I was living in Dallas, Texas, and I went into a place called the Galleria. You and I have actually done events there with Jim Rohn. I went into the Galleria. I went into this one store, and I bought my first Pal Zolari suit, $1,500 suit in 1992. And, I mean, it wasn't the suit. It's that I felt like I'd arrived. It's like I could actually afford to buy a suit that I've been dreaming of. And it's interesting is that company went out of business. They changed the pay plan. I still had the suit. But the situation was I knew that I'd crossed the bridge. Even when that company went out of business, I knew I could make it. I didn't know how, but I knew I was going to. Now, let's go back one more memory lane. 2004, you speak at the very first multiple speaker event for me, the More Hearts and Talent event in the Gateway Sheraton Hotel with Jim Rohn. We had Mark Victor Hansen. We had 179 people at that event. Then I asked you to share the stage, be one of the keynotes with me. You had one of the key spots right before or after lunch. In 2005, Susan Sly was just starting her career. I remember she brought 15 people to that event. You were one of the keynote speakers. We shared the stage with the great Jim Rohn. You and I did that five times. What was that like to share the stage with the great Jim Rohn?
I don't even know if you can explain it. The guy was a legendary figure, America's foremost business philosopher. I listened to his cassette tapes so many times, I literally blew him out. His mind and the way he was able to philosophize and put information out just made you it just, it was like, it's like a, I don't know, warm melody of music or something. It just feels good. And the way he did what he did was what caused him to be as successful as he was in his life. I mean, he impacted millions of people. And to say that, you know, I had, and obviously you had the opportunity to speak on the same stage with him, you know, very few people can say that.
We did it 5 times, and we have the distinction of sharing the stage with him the last time he ever spoke, January 2008. He dies in 2010 from a pulmonary condition, and you and I and Susan shared the stage with him in the very last keynote he ever spoke. So that was a very interesting dynamic between you, Susan, and I, that we share that distinction through 6 degrees of separation with the great Jim Rohn. Todd, it's been great having you on tonight's call. I know that you have great materials. I personally have the Black Book of Scripts, along with some, many of your other products. And remember, I have your very first CD set that you produced. You produced it at that event, and remember you had them shipped to you at the Gateway Sheraton Hotel, that first CD set?
How to Win in the Game of Prospecting. You know, it's crazy. I produced that over 10 years ago, and it's still one of my top-selling training programs. I wouldn't change anything about it, even if I reproduced it today.
13 years ago that came out, 2004. I remember you had them delivered that. I forgot about that. They got delivered that day. I remember that. Go ahead and share with the folks. I know you put together an offer for people on tonight's call, and there will be a lot of downloads on tomorrow's podcast. We get in the hundreds of downloads the following day. So go ahead and share what you put together for the listeners on tonight's call and the people that are going to be listening to it later.
Yeah, for sure, real simply. Last year I wrote a book called Fearless Networking. I put it together really as a training tool for the network marketing space so that people in the field could use it. They could use it to train their organization. They could work from it. They could learn from it. I published that book not as a long read for you to dive into, but really, okay, I can take from page one and start applying these strategies into my business. That book, when we brought it out the latter part of last year, and we have absolutely crushed it with that book. I've got network marketing companies that are putting it in their distributor kits. I've got top leaders that are buying it in the thousands. I mean, it's been a really cool experience to see the receptivity of that book. If someone goes to my, I'll give you the site where you can grab the book for free. All you do is pay for shipping and handling, and we'll ship you out a copy of the book. It's $9.95 if you're here in the U.S. It's pretty easy to get it out to you. The website's toddfalcone.com, toddfalcone.com/free-book. It's pretty easy. toddfalcone.com/free-book. So go grab the free book. It's $10. Anybody can afford it. Here's the book is all about prospecting and recruiting. It's not the end-all, be-all to prospecting and recruiting. It's a 108-page book. It's not meant to be. If I was going to teach you everything about prospecting, it would be a much longer book, but it does cover really important areas, how to be good at creating connections with people, mastering rapport building. I cover literally every objection that I've ever gotten in network marketing. I give you specific ways to go and uncover or get through those objections or common questions. I give examples of real-life situations on how to overcome objections. I go into my specific philosophy on how to follow up effectively, and then I go specifically into enrolling and closing people. So it's a great little book. You'll use it for your team. You can get it for free. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, toddfalcone.com/free-book. And when we brought the book out, we thought, well, let's try this little promotion out and see how that works. And we've continued it. I don't know how long we're going to continue the free book offer, but it's happening right now. So if you want to go to the site tonight, you can go get a copy of it, and we'll shoot it out to you.
Todd, thank you very much for being on tonight's call. As always, great to collaborate with you. We've shared the stage on many, many occasions. And I look forward to sharing the stage and collaborating a few events together in the next few years. Todd, great friend, great business owner, first-class human being. Have a great evening, Todd. Great to have you on tonight's call.
Thank you very much. I appreciate everything you do in the network marketing profession as well, my friend. Thanks for having me.
There you go, folks. Todd Falcone, the one and only, one of the King Kongs of network marketing, direct sales trainings, and a master prospector. Once again, for those of you on tonight's call that have not had the opportunity to take advantage of a free 15-minute coaching call, and you want to take your game and yourself to the next level, send me your phone number, your name, and what you seek to receive from me in a 15-minute coaching call, and I will return your phone call within 24 hours. I will be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire this Saturday. I will be in Kansas City, Missouri the following Saturday. It's going to be an absolute great event. I will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, October 8th. And those are some of the, and I will be in Albany, New York with Frank Pecoraro, October 21st. October 28th, I will be in Norwalk, Connecticut. So those are a few of the places I will be speaking. Boy, this year is really flying by. So good night, everyone. Have a great evening, and I will connect with you very soon. Bye.